because my next guest on the programme has a talk coming up next Thursday, January the 12th, Lifestyle Changes for Health, Beauty and Long Life. He is Jeff Bond. He'll be talking at the Coral Beach Hotel, Coral Bay, in Paphos. And, well, he's billed as an evolutionary lifestyle anthropologist. Now, I spoke to Jeff. It's got to be probably 4 or 5 years ago, I think now. So we better perhaps refresh your memories on what exactly that means. Jeff Bond, a very good evening to you.
Hello there, Rosie. Yeah, evolutionary lifestyle anthropologist. Not many of us around. Basically, we're scientists who study the origins of the human race, or the human species, the kind of lifestyle to which nature has naturally adapted us, and the breakthrough knowledge that we've just got in the last 20 years or so, that we're still living in bodies and with mentalities designed for lifestyle back then, and that the mismatch between the way we live today and the way nature intended is at the origin of a great many diseases, and particularly the cancers and the heart disease and all the diseases of civilization we know about. But also I'll be focusing in this talk a little bit about these sort of irritating ailments, which like acne and cellulite and varicose veins and crooked teeth and so on, that are also actually lifestyle diseases. And so this particular talk will be talking about not only how we know all these things, but also the way we can try and adapt our lifestyle in today's world. Don't have to necessarily make any exotic changes, but you have to make some pretty drastic ones, so as to align ourselves and live in a way that our bodies and our mentalities expect. So that's what we do, and it's it brings great insights. The subheading to my talk is actually insights from our human origins. And so, until we understand where we've come from and why what the things we're doing that are causing us to get into these situations, then we've got no real chance of fixing the root of the problem. So that's where we're doing.
Okay, but I mean, most of us know whether we're leading healthy lifestyles. What you're suggesting, I think, is that some of the accepted practice is possibly not what we should be worried about. I mean, you've been described as having a revolutionary and cutting-edge message. How does it differ from the usual stuff that we're hearing about in terms of not smoking, taking exercise, and all those usual things?
Well, I'll come on to that in just a second, but I will just make one extra point, and that is that I'm a much-demanded speaker to come and talk to give continuing medical education lectures to doctors, mainly in America, where they actually recognize the need for this, where they understand that there's a limit to medical knowledge, in at least the way they practice it, and also that there's such a confusion about what is actually a healthy lifestyle. You so often meet people who say, yes, I live a healthy lifestyle, you know, I eat a balanced diet, I do this, I do that, I exercise, I don't smoke. Okay, fine. But then there's so many apparently different ideas about what that means. And what I say is, well, actually, there is only one real way, and that is the way that nature intended. And that's how I talk about it. Now, when we get down to some of the specifics, well, yes, I mean, there are some pretty drastic things we have to confront. We'll get into that in the talk, of course.
Mm. I just have to say this, Jeff, it is at least 4 years ago, I think, that we spoke. I have an abiding memory of asking you whether we could live without cheese, because I'm pretty sure that you told me we shouldn't eat cheese, and it's one of my favourite foods. And am I right?
Well, you know, dairy products are not human food.
Basically. Yeah, I thought you were going to say that. I do definitely remember that bit, but it didn't make me change my lifestyle, I have to say.
And I did fight with my wife, new wife, Nicole, many years ago now, when we first got together about 20 years ago. She was French, and you know, the last thing she wanted to give up was her cheeses. But she's still suffering from irritating allergies and her eyes, grit in the eyes, although that's what it felt like. I said, you know, you're just going to have to actually go the whole hog, and you just got to cut some of these things right out. Okay, now she's got herself fixed totally, and well, from time to time we do have a nice little bit of ripe brie with a nice glass of red wine. But, you know, once you're in a healthy shape, then your body's got a certain margin of tolerance. But the basic, you know, when I talk about dairy, you know, I sometimes say, you know, this isn't, of course, rocket science. There's an awful lot of alternative health practitioners who will say, yeah, actually, dairy is not great. And we know, I mean, the scientific literature is there, that it's a factor in a whole range of diseases. And, you know, I sometimes have to say to people, why would you want to put milk into your children? After all, it's designed, you know, cow's milk is designed to build small brains and big horns. You know, why would you want that for your children? But putting it more bluntly, and sometimes when I'm speaking to the doctors, I say to them, look, you know as well as I do that milk is a fluid that the adult or the adult female of the species produces for the newly born baby. And the newly born baby is, in fact, in mammals, is actually slightly prematurely born. And milk is fetus food. It's the food that carries the fetus through to the point where it can actually start to live like an adult. And so what are we doing drinking fetus food or consuming any kind of fetus food in any kind of form, let alone one from animals that aren't human beings? And, of course, but the bottom line is, of course, that the dairy products, even from human beings, human milk, is not great for human beings once they've beyond about 4 years old.
Mm. All right, but that's just one of the messages. I mean, you're going to be doing a talk and then a question and answer session at the mm-hmm. Coral Beach Hotel, as we said, next Thursday. How can you fit all of this information in an hour? And I'm sure you do it regularly. What are the general questions that you get asked at the end of it?
Well, I often, when I say to people, like, just to follow on from what we've just been talking about, dairy, they say, well, goodness me, where do you get your calcium? And in fact, it's not only the general public that say that. Even the doctors will say, well, you know, where do you get your calcium?
Sardines, but then should you eat tinned fish?
And I say, well, you know, where do you think a horse gets its calcium from? Or an ox, or mm-hmm. an elephant? You know, they're all vegetarians. It's actually in everything. That's not the problem. It's one of the huge pieces of misdirection, is the best way I can put it, put out by the dairy industry, is that we'll all have bones that'll crumble to nothing if we're not consuming milk by the gallon. And in fact, just the opposite is true, that milk is actually one factor in creating or causing osteoporosis. So, and that's something that is so totally, well, I won't say it's counterintuitive, but it certainly goes against or contrarian. It goes contrary to every health message that's been coming and been fed at us for 50 years. But the reality is that 80% of the world's population don't consume dairy and they've got perfectly healthy bones. And we can dig up bones of people who died 100,000 years ago and they're perfectly healthy. These people weren't crawling around under antelopes trying to suckle their teats. This just simply wasn't part of the diet. The problem with bone health is all to do with all sorts of other things that are going on in our lives, like to do with certain things to do with like physical activity, sunlight, to do with certain things that we're eating which you shouldn't and that are disrupting bone signaling. Because after all, our bones are constantly being destroyed and rebuilt. And all this is done with finely tuned mechanisms, telling the osteoclasts, those are the bone destroying cells, talking to the osteoblasts, those are the bone building cells. They're talking to each other, saying, "Hey, come along here and build some more bone over here." But these signals get disrupted, which is what happens when we live the way we do today.
All right, but
that goes wrong.
But we are, of course, evolving the whole time, aren't we? As an evolutionary anthropologist, you will agree that we are surely changing as over the centuries our lifestyle and our way of life changes. Are we in any way changing to adapt to the way we live now? I know you're suggesting we should go back to how it should be, but have we in the interim already changed possibly in the wrong direction?
Well, let's look at it this way. We're all descended from a group of people who lived just 2,000 generations ago, living the lifestyle I'm talking about. Now, that's a very short space of time for any kind of evolutionary adaptation to occur, and everything we understand about it, you know, through genetic analysis and all the rest, is that in fact there's been very little genetic change taking place. But the main thing to remember is this. People sometimes say to me, well, look, you know, we'll get used to eating fast food, won't we? You know, after a while, it'll all be part of our diets and we'll evolve to eat fast food. Well, I say, evolution only takes place, or this kind of adaptation only takes place, if people die of the thing that's doing them harm before they have a chance to reproduce. In other words, if you were to allow all the adolescents today who are obese, got heart disease and so on, to actually die before they have a chance to reproduce, then the ones that were left, they would carry on with some kind of resistance to fast food. But, of course, we don't allow that to happen. We just continue to defeat, if you like, the normal processes of natural selection. So I don't see it, as things stand, of course, ever happening. What we certainly understand is that it hasn't happened in any meaningful way ever since human beings were first evolved into the state we are now, all that time ago. So the answer today is, if you're alive and well today, or alive and not so well today, is actually you need to actually go back to the ancestral lifestyle and try and emulate it in some kind of way. Then things start to come right. That's the wondrous thing. I sometimes say we make the mistake of thinking that if our bodies go wrong, that we think of it like a machine. That we make the mistake of thinking, oh, there's something gone wrong. We've got to go in with spanners and tools and change spare parts and try and fix it that way. Whereas really, a lot of the time, in fact, most of the things we're talking about today, and certainly the kinds of topics I'll be talking about in this talk, is that what we have to do is actually get out of the body's way of being able to repair itself, because the body is actually a wondrous, living, throbbing organism with tremendous powers of self-repair. It's a self-repairing organism. And the main task we have today is to stop sabotaging its ability to repair itself.
Okay. Well, Jeff, we're going to have to leave it there, I'm afraid, because I've got somebody else to talk to in London before we do our Greek by Radio lesson. And we don't want to spoil the surprise for everybody who goes along on Thursday next week to the Coral Beach Hotel. It starts, they've got to register at 10. Do they have to register in advance, or can they just turn up at 10?
It would be good to email Jason Smith, who's the manager there at the Health and Beauty Centre, at jason.smith@coral.com.cy. I hear that already 50% of the places have gone.
So ooh, people better be quick then.
It would be good for people to touch base and make sure that there is a place for them. They can also, if they don't like emailing or can't, they can visit they can call me personally on my phone, 99452468, and there's more details on my website, www.jeffbond.com. Just click through to the events page, and they'll have directions how to get there and all the rest.
Okay, and that is geoffbond.com, not the one with the J, and that number once again, 99452468, or jason.smith@coral.com.cy. Always a pleasure talking to you, Jeff, and I can see that next week there'll be a lot of people having a great deal of thought about lifestyle changes for health. I'm not sure about the beauty part, but anyway, but for health.
We didn't even talk about beauty.
Beauty
today.
And long life. Well, we were a bit pushed for time, but pleasure once again talking to you. Thanks for joining me.
Okay, then. Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
That's Jeff Bond. So, very quickly, a recap. Thursday next week, January the 12th, 10 o'clock registration. But it would be good, if you want to be sure of getting in, of booking beforehand, 99452468. The talk will start promptly at 10:30 and go on for about an hour, and then there's a Q&A session.